What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What's going on, everybody? It's Mitch Michaels, it's Kenny Ducey, it's Zachary Cohn-Zico, Pamela Maldonado here on Tennis Bets. A very, very big show coming up as we've got clay court action on the road to Roland Garros. How's everybody doing out there, first of all, as we gear up for the tournaments? We're on all your platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter, as well as the Tennis Channel Podcast Network. A lot of exciting action. Kenny, you know, we're going to go forwards hat. I thought we were going to get backwards hat on a Friday. How's it going, man?
I got to support my fallen brother, Riley Opelka, who may never play tennis again.
Yeah. But your thoughts, Kenny, though, on what we've seen? It's been a lot of action. We've got three men's tournaments. We've got a couple in the women on the clay. It's all heating up, and Roland Garros just over a month away.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of rain. I think the one thing that is very interesting about this time of year is that, you know, we go from hard courts where we do talk a lot about the court speeds and the conditions, and there's obviously very slow hard courts out there. I think we don't talk enough about how different the clay courts can be, and I think we're seeing a very good example of that this week, especially on the ATP Tour. Barcelona playing a lot quicker than, you know, say Munich. I mean, it's obviously raining in Munich, so that's going to play a big factor, but, you know, sometimes you get that heavier clay and it presents a much different matchup. And, you know, in Spain, you know, Madrid as well is one of the fast. I mean, Madrid is faster than Indian Wells. I mean, the hard courts in Indian Wells are much slower than the altitude clay we see in Madrid. So I think it's always worth, as we have our weather and court expert below me, Zachary Cohen, apparently. It's always worth talking about that as well this time of year.
Yeah, Zico, got to go weather originally with what's happening in Munich right now. You know, rain, hail, snow. It actually made me respect Holger a lot because he just played through it yesterday. But quite the elements in Germany.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, honestly. Like, that would have been my takeaway. It's weird. You could go from warm weather somewhere to, like, snow and, you know, people wearing long sleeve shirts on the court in Munich. It's really interesting to see just how different it is at these different tournaments. But, yeah, good win for Holger in the long sleeves. It probably really hurt him. He couldn't keep pulling.
They're all wearing the long sleeves.
They're all wearing the long sleeves, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I think we should have more long sleeves and leggings on the ATP Tour. It's only like Madison Bringle who does it on the WTA Tour.
Yeah, it was 40. It's, you know, I'm looking at the temperature, right? It's going to be 40 tomorrow. We got semifinals in Germany. 40 Fahrenheit again, obviously. And, you know, they're really battling through it. I'm going to not out anybody name-wise, but some people that have been on the air Tennis Channel-wise have said that they think the schedule is ridiculous, that they cram all this in and it trickles down from Paris. But you got to give props to the people that put themselves out there and make it happen. We had some picks, we had some good, some bad. We can kind of get to that. We'll also get to the Roland Garros future, some picks outgoing as well. Want to get the negative one out of the way for Zico. You had a great day, but this was one that didn't go your way. Sabalenka did not go all the way through with the set. Was that the set spread, though, if I have that right?
No, that was the money line.
Okay, so you did get this one right. So my bad there, but you missed a couple others there. But there was a few that you had right and bad. But there's a lot of picks in the mix, and I know that you were heavy on the women. This was the one I wanted to get to. You have Magda Linette win this one -102. So we're going to the deep ends of France to get a winner.
Yeah, I just thought this was a match like where Linette, I just trust her a little bit more on clay. I wrote it in my column for VSiN.com that I thought that the wrong player was favored. Linette, I actually got her +102, and she kind of dominated the match. You know, she won the first set in a tiebreaker, but from there, she really ran away with it. So I really liked that one. And just for the sake of transparency, I went 3-1 today, but Sabalenka, I played a little bit bigger. So I only ended up winning like a half a unit.
Yeah, that was
a win. You're building that bankroll.
Yeah. And that was a frustrating one because I looked at it too. The thing, I didn't know if that Sabalenka score was money line or set spread. The value was there, and she almost won it in straight sets, kind of broke back and then kind of gave it away, but hasn't played in a minute and obviously went through some off court stuff too. So, but you did have, Navone was the other one, right? You bet against Seawolf Wild. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep. That was the first one I had today, which I did not even know when it was being played. I thought it was going to be 2:00 in the morning, but I ended up sleeping through it. But yeah, Navone was just, you know, a guy that's played pretty much exclusively. What'd you say?
5 o'clock for normal people, not
well,
the
I think it was three here. For you. I think it started at 12 my time, but I don't know.
Yeah, all night then. I mean, at that point, you're invested. Like, it's midnight. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I should have probably just stayed up, but I don't know. It was another match where, like, Navone's played, like, exclusively clay court tournaments over the last year. They've been pretty evenly matched in the past, but Navone, I think, is just a little bit better on clay, a little bit more trustworthy, and again, like, he played a good match, and I think he's playing pretty well right now in that second match of the day.
Kenny, I don't want to highlight, you know, you have ups and downs, and we don't have to get through every single pick, but there's one I have to bring up for transparency just because it's the feud of probably the year. You know, the storylines are going, but Etcheverry breaking your heart. That's one I have to bring up because you versus Etch. I mean, I think we need a ladder match at this point.
I think so. I mean, look, I've tagged with Etch plenty of times. You know, I think he's been a guy I targeted a lot during Golden Swing. I think he plays really well there. He does play really well on clay as well. I think really the hesitation for me over the last year has been on hard courts with him, just because his sort of swashbuckling style, you know, the way he likes to dig his heels in and just play long rallies, it can work against some older opponents. And I do feel like he brings a lot of physicality and his forehand is like big enough where it can work there. But yeah, I mean, look, I this is a match where I normally probably would have taken Etcheverry. I just was a little still concerned after that injury a couple of months ago. It didn't really feel like he was playing his best. And Norrie might have just needed the crowd against him, honestly. I mean, he beat Etcheverry in the Golden Swing last year. He beat RBA once again. I had him yesterday. I had a 4-0 day yesterday. He beat RBA once again, a Davis Cup rematch from 2018. So he loves playing on clay, especially in hostile environments. And I mean, you know, I don't want to get into the good and bad fans in tennis, but that seems to be where the most hostility lies, is in these you know, foreign clay court tournaments. So I don't know, maybe he just got a little comfortable. I just felt like the fitness of Norrie and the fact that he plays the same sort of style as Etcheverry, just long rallies, I thought that would eventually, the Etcheverry maybe lack of fitness, you know, even if it's at 85%, would show itself. It didn't. Good match for him. And I'll take my L for sure.
It happens. And you put the picks out there, so we know you're not just talking. Like, you put the picks out there, so we know that you're not just saying you went 4-0. So that's something to point out as well.
Also, the ghost wants to know why I'm holding my own microphone. I mean, I could do this, but, like, is that going to be look better?
I don't think so. You know what? We'll get you, like, one of those, like, you know, malt
microphones. I have a mic.
Like the Disney pop star where you wear, like, the headset, like you're singing in the mall. We can get you
Here's
one of those.
The thing about being a content creator – remote for the last 4 years. I have so many different microphones. I do have a podcast mic. I like this one better. Also, it's like sort of what people use now, the little tiny mic. But yeah, I mean, I have a lav. I have so many different options, but I've never really found one that was like, great. This one works great and it sounds great. And you guys can hear my lovely voice.
I will say about this clay court so far, I'm super mad at myself for not honing in on fading Demonar after a win over Nadal. That was a missed opportunity on my end. Why? Because I was like, oh, Nadal's out. I'm going to like take a break from for a couple days. And then, oop, missed it.
That is the letdown spot. You beat one of the greats on either tour, and there's usually a loss in the next one.
For a guy who's not good on, typically good on clay, so. Yeah.
Before we get to the future side of things, Pam, just some quick thoughts from you, if you have them, on what we saw last week, and that was Stefanos Tsitsipas winning his third Monte Carlo title. Good on this program, by the way, everybody here highlighting Tsitsipas as one of the guys that could do well and then move up for RG odds. His odds have almost been slashed in half. But Pam, another comfortable win for a guy in his favorite tournament.
Well, the one thing that we always talk about on this show for Tsitsipas is his backhand is the weak side of his game. Except when you go to a slow clay court, that weakness is kind of alleviated, if not dissipated. Like, it's dissipated entirely. So those weaknesses that he has, you cannot capitalize on them like you can on a hard court. You can't exploit that. So because of his serve, he does still have an all-around game. It's a surface at Monte Carlo that he's very comfortable with. So he's able to gain his confidence back. And yeah, there's just a lot of things to work in his favor. Does that translate to the rest of the clay court season? We'll go ahead and see if he can find momentum in that. But I still have my reservations about him maybe being even like a top five player for Roland Garros odds. But for what we saw last week, not entirely unexpected.
And he may lose to Diaz Acosta right now. It's good. I mean, don't laugh. Diaz Acosta is, I said it all Golden Swing. It's a different Diaz Acosta. He's playing unbelievable. But 4-3 in the third set. That's, they're on serve. Pretty tough.
You can get to Tsitsipas's backhand still on clay if you do hit heavy topspin. So I do think that's why he's having a little bit of trouble with Diaz Acosta and why, you know, he's had trouble with Alcaraz like in Barcelona.
Well, and this is another example too, Diaz Acosta, of like, we know the top players really well. We talk about the top players every week. And, you know, when they lose to some of these guys who we've never heard of, like Fritz almost losing to Diaz Acosta at the Australian Open, the easy thing to say is, oh, well, Taylor Fritz at a Grand Slam, you know, oh my goodness, you know, how did he have trouble with Diaz Acosta? You watch that match. I mean, the baseline play is relentless from Diaz Acosta. He played an unbelievable match, and Fritz said after, he was like, yeah, I was surprised how many balls he got to, and also the aggression that he showed, you know, with the width that he was able to play with. So, like, I think, you know, even if we're not inclined to bet on those heavy favorites, you know, early in Grand Slams or early in Masters tournaments, it is always worth reading into and just watching some of the tape on, well, what happened? Did this person just come out of the locker room lazy? Did they party the night before? Or did their opponent just play much higher level than we thought they would? And I think Diaz Acosta has been doing that all year.
There's clay court specialists that has existed from the beginning of this game. So I think there's a lot of names that even us, we don't really appreciate how good they are. Another thing I want to point out before we get to some RG stuff and some bookkeeping, Zico on the future market, again, you're booking another matchup in Barcelona if Tsitsipas holds on.
Yeah, hopefully he does hold on. He was just up 3-1 and up a break, by the way. But yeah, I was hoping that these two would meet in the final again. I just think that they both played really well last week. Casper, you know, maybe there's a little bit of limited upside. Maybe he can't beat these other top players. We're starting to see that. You know, losing to Tsitsipas in that final was especially disappointing because, you know, he wasn't facing Djokovic, he wasn't facing Alcaraz. But, you know, you could kind of rely on him to get there. So I do think that this is a good play just because I've kind of figured one or both would be in the final.
Was that the letdown spot, like Pam said, for Demonar a little bit? Like, you beat Djokovic for the first time, and then maybe it's hard to kind of get yourself back up. But
yeah,
I just thought Djokovic didn't play very well, and like Casper played really well, especially in the first set of that match. I just think that, you know, you face Tsitsipas, and you know, Casper does lack weapons, and if he tries to kind of up things on his forehand, that's when he gets himself in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think we talked earlier, Mitch, about you not using TikTok, so maybe you don't have an ear to the streets, but a word that's very big these days is aura. And I think Djokovic has always had aura, you know, and there's that Nadal as well. Like there's that sense that when you step on the court, they are very good. They're probably much better than you think they are. That just hasn't been the case over the last, you know, 4 months. I mean, Djokovic's aura is almost gone at this point. Sinner beat him. Demonor beat him in Australia. And then again, when you come into a match knowing, especially as a top player with like a ton of talent who probably should beat these guys if you play your best tennis, you go in with confidence, like Demonor match after beating Rafa just once. Now he's like, okay, I can beat this guy. And then he runs into Rafa, who, you know, is shaky coming back off of a long layoff due to injury. So I think the aura with Djokovic is just a little gone at this point. I mean, it's certainly not going to, you know, take him out of the Roland Garros draw in like the second round. But like, you start to get to some of these top 20 players who have some talent, you know, an Hugo Humbert who's almost in the top 10, something like that. It's like, it gets interesting.
I think Casper said that, like, that Djokovic losing to Luca Nardi helped him believe that he could win that match.
Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said about, obviously, Kenny, thank you for letting me know that TikTok invented the word aura. I never heard that word before. So. Awesome. But there's truth to winning matches in the locker room. And you've even heard guys say that, Federer, Nadal, Djokovic say, it's like they walk out expecting to win and they know that they're intimidating their opponents. The intimidation factor might not be there. Can he get it back? Sure, if he gets into his zone, Pam. But his clay court season started out sluggish. That's not surprising, as Kenny and Zico have pointed out in the past, that he doesn't usually do well in Monte Carlo, but he's still looking for that first title of the year. And we're getting into pushing May now, just uncharted territory for him.
I'm not ready to say that Djokovic has lost his aura. I think to players like Sinner and Alcaraz, for sure, because they've already had back and forths with each other. But when you're playing a lesser opponent who's maybe like outside of the top 25 to top 50, even top 100, those players are still going to be like, it's still Djokovic. I still know what he's capable of. So he can still ramp it up. Oh, Tsitsipas facing a break point. But I'm not ready to diminish Djokovic quite yet. I know that I put him, like you and I just did a podcast yesterday, and when it came to the Roland Garros odds, I left him out of the top four. I'm not ready to put him into the top three until I see something from him change that we haven't seen in the last year. And it's, can you handle power? On clay court or not, can you handle power? Like, where did it go? What happened to you? He is the king of adjustments, though. So I'm still expecting for an adjustment to be made. I just have to see it first.
Right.
Also, I would point out, I don't know, the aura discussion aside, I would say that Mitch's point about the tournament not coming yet for Djokovic, it mirrors that 2022 season. Obviously, there were the whole COVID restrictions and Djokovic wasn't able to go to Australia. He got detained. Everyone knows about that whole story. He didn't win his first tournament until Rome. Yeah. I mean, he did lose to Alcaraz in Madrid, which was like sort of a passing of the torch moment, and Belgrade was not exactly kind to him, even though that's his home tournament. He lost to Rublev. So he didn't actually, like, it only took him, what, four tournaments to basically win one. But I will say, like, it's not unheard of that he could just get hot late. He did win the most tournaments in the on the tour, I believe, that year, if I'm not mistaken. And then also, like, if he had gotten ranking points for Wimbledon, he would have been the number one player in the world by a long margin or wide margin. So I don't feel like it's time to panic yet with Djokovic, but I also do feel like, some of these players now, the top 10 guys, they have a little more confidence that they can win.
Right. And good comment in our chat, by the way. Go to the chat if you want to, jump in on the show. Matthew DeSouza did point out, he asked the question, is Novak actually playing Madrid? It's not official yet. Like, there's still the possibility that he doesn't play Madrid. So when will it come? I think this is a good time now here. Tennis Bets, Kenny Ducey, betting on X, Zachary Cohn, and Pamela Maldonado as we dive into the Roland Garros futures. And as of about 30 minutes ago before the show started, this is what the board looks like for the favorites. So we're looking at Alcaraz, Djokovic, Sinner, Nadal, Tsitsipas, Holger, Kasper, Zverev, and Medvedev. Before I turn it over to you guys, just some quick notes about this. Both Alcaraz and Djokovic went down slightly. So did Nadal, obviously more than slightly. Sinner tracked up. Tsitsipas shot up. Everything else stayed the same. So, Zico, first thoughts there. We've seen some movement, and it's actually trending down. So it's opening up a little bit at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I did say that Sinner at plus 450 was not going to be there for very long, and not to throw water on Tsitsipas's fire, but Sinner was going to win that match if they didn't miss that call. So I do think that that's...
Is that the tennis side of you, or is that the sports betting bidder side of you? I just want to make
sure. I mean,
sure.
He was going to be a 4-1. It's like, I don't think he would have lost it if he took that double break lead. So I just think that, looking at this now, like, I still think the value is there on Sinner because I don't think that he's... anywhere behind the other two. So I think that if you're still looking to play any of those three guys, I'd still go Sinner. I'm really out on Nadal. I know that, like, the win over Cabali was all right, but I thought Cabali made a lot of unforced errors. I thought that he looked, Nadal looked pretty bad against Demonor. So I'm not really looking to anything there. I just think that maybe the double digit guys, you spray a few of them, like a Casper, like a, Zverev, we've talked about a lot. I could see either one of those guys are, making a run to the semifinals, and then you hope that you could hedge from there.
Mitch is like, okay, where do I go with this?
want you guys to talk this one out, because I know there's a lot of different opinions and we're still a month out, but Pam, you want to jump in here and talk about the board and what you've seen?
We'll talk about it all. The one that immediately stands out is Zverev at 18-1. And the reason for that is because I put him easily into the top five. So because I put him in my rankings as such, you're gaining value. And yeah, ahead of Tsitsipas, even ahead of Runa, that should just not be it. This is a guy that was basically neck and neck with Nadal before his ankle went out a couple years ago. I'm not ready to dismiss him. Yeah, I know he lost in his tournament this morning, yesterday, but he is still very much capable. And he is the type of player where his style does translate to both hard, fast, hard, slow clay. Like, he can do it all. And then I would expect him to do well in Madrid, of which that 18-1 odds may be gone. Mm-hmm. Now, the second thing is I am not ready to dismiss Nadal. He didn't look good in his matches. I wasn't expecting him to. He is right now playing elevated practice sessions. That's what he's doing. He's just trying to get in reps in, seeing what his body is capable of, going up against a player like Alex de Minaur, who is a backboard. He's trying to gauge where his body needs to be a month from now in order to contend for seven full matches. So I'm not at all looking at what he's doing lately or what he'll be doing here at Rome and say, okay, he's ready, he's not ready. Everything is a trial and error, a gauge. He's trying to just figure out what he needs for Roland Garros.
So I before I go to Kenny, I just want to point out how insane this board is with all the question marks we have that we don't normally have. The favorite is a guy who hasn't played a clay court tournament this year. Djokovic is second, hasn't won a title this year. Sinner, we haven't seen it happen on clay. A guy who hasn't played is up next. Like, it's just, it's crazy. The four is yours.
Well, he did play one and he turned his ankle. So then, yeah, so he hasn't officially played one. But yeah, look, this is a spot. I can't talk about Zverev again. I don't think I'm allowed to. I think we've talked about Roland Garros odds five different times, and every time I've said Zverev. So I have to bring something new to the table. But yes, I mean, I think he is the best bet on the board still. And I said that last week that he's going to win at least one of these tournaments. And his odds are going to go down. They will go down. Madrid, as Pam mentioned, a good spot for him to win. That's his tournament. He always, I mean, that's been historically the best tournament for Zverev. So knowing that, I don't think you can expect 1800 to last all the way till mid-May. With all that said, looking at this board, I think you want to use the V word, value, which is always conflated in the betting community. I think a lot of people just say big odds are value. I think Djokovic has a lot of value here at plus 270. I know we just talked about how he's not very good right now, but you know, you talk about these question marks on the board. It's very hard to pick out, you know, especially for the purposes of this discussion, someone who's going to actually win this tournament. I actually do feel like there's a lot of value on Djokovic and Nadal. I did not like Nadal. I think he was at what, plus 500 last time we spoke about this?
He was 470. And so that was, yeah.
He was plus 700 probably a month ago, at which point I was like a little interested in Rafa. And now I'm back in. I think I am interested in taking him at this number. I just think it's hard to not take him at this tournament. He's only lost three times ever on this court. And like, I feel like this is a situation where you look at a lot of the guys up on the board with him. He goes to the semifinals, he faces Zverev. Like, those are, they're dangerous matchups here for him that I think he will lose. But the draw, as we've seen, you know, it does tend to break for him. It's maybe going to be a little tougher now with his ranking sort of in flux. But like, I do feel like he is just going to, I think this is all practice for him. As Pam said, I really do feel like he's going to play Rafael Nadal tennis when we get to Roland Garros, just like he has the last 3 years when we said, exactly. Oh yeah, well, he's cooked. He's hurt. He, you know, almost fainted against Jack Draper. He, you know, lost to Mackenzie McDonald, or maybe he didn't lose. I don't know, but he almost did. If he didn't, you know, there's been plenty of reasons to doubt this guy over the last few years. And then we just always see him in the semis at least. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think you just have to back you have to bet on him taking this year to really get ready for Roland Garros, because this is his swan song. I do feel like it's stupid that he didn't retire after he beat Casper Ruud so easily in the French Open final 2 years ago. That would have been the way to go, but he's still here. You know, it is what it is. And I think I know Sinner is just better than everyone else right now, and maybe the clay question marks are gone, but he's gonna experience a dip at some point. I think I think that the old guys are really the value here. If it's not obviously Zverev, yes, bet on Zverev. If you haven't done it already, I've said it five times, but those two guys.
That's right what now. I love about these French Open odds right now is that you can make a case for and against every single one of these. Alcaraz, Djokovic, Sinner, Nadal, Tsitsipas, Runa, Ruud, Zverev, Medvedev. Literally all of them. I could even make a case for Medvedev. Oh, he's going to like shock everybody with clay. A case could be made based off of.
Yeah, and Pam, that's the thing about Medvedev is that when there are questions for everybody else, he's the guy that just steps in.
And these are players. Like, this is my philosophy when it comes to like betting outrights, and I'm not just talking the French Open. If you're looking for a player, like Zico said at the beginning, I just think that these guys are going to make it into the semifinal, of which then you want to take them to be in the final or as an outright, especially if you're getting something like 10-1+ or better. Like, if I think Nadal, not even think, if I know that Nadal is going to make it into the second week, I want that 8-1 now, because once he's ramped up into that second week, his rhythm is there, his time is there, his confidence there, and we have no idea what type of health, things he's doing to help him get through those rounds. No, I'm not underestimating him. I'm not going to do it.
They, in Zico, what the French Open Roland Garros does with Nadal in terms of where they put him in the bracket is going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a little conspiracy there.
It will, and I don't disagree that he's using this as practice, but he needs to win some matches to get more practice, and I do think that, like, I just don't trust his body, right? I just don't think he's going to stay healthy.
The serve is what's – yeah, I want to see how his serve, if it improves, if he does that same abbreviated motion, the MPHs or KPHs, depending on what, you know, metric you use, were very much down.
So, Zico, to your point, what I would expect, my whole brain scenario roadmap to this is Barcelona, Nadal was just paying homage to the fans. Let me just show up, show face, play against a good backboard like a Dimonar and move on. And then maybe he's playing Madrid is what I saw. He confirmed for that. Where I'm expecting, hoping him to like really ramp up and start saying, okay, I'm winning matches, is Rome right before Roland Garros. Like, he's building up to it. There's no reason for him to win right now. Roland Garros is still a month and a half away.
Yeah. I would say not on the Nadal front, by the way. If we're looking at futures, it's really hard to make a case for anyone outside the top nine here winning. If you want a long shot, 100-1.
100-1.
Last time he played here, quarterfinals. Obviously, the run was well documented from what was it, 2020 to 2022, where he was only losing to Djokovic at the Grand Slams, took a set off him in the quarterfinals there at Roland Garros. It's great because every time people laugh at my picks, they do really well. I'm happy about that. And no, he did. I don't know if you guys noticed, but he did win a tournament. No one talked about it. We never talked about it. He won Marrakesh. Not a big tournament. It's a Casper Ruud level tournament. But, you know, I think this guy's 9-3 this year. He's playing a little bit better. He's coming back from he's nursing his body back to full health. We know when he's healthy, he's a very, very good player. And again, 100-1, like. Mm-hmm. Why not? It's 100-1.
While we're doing this, I put in Dimitrov at 150-1 too. So
there it is. I was just gonna say.
Man, right on cue. But again, same logic. Why not? Like it. Yeah. If you're, I think that the top five here have a really good chance. Like Carlos, Novak, Yannick, and Zverev, and then Tsitsipas as well would be the top five for me. I think you guys would probably agree with that. Mostly, I mean, maybe Zico has a little bit of disagreement, but. I mean, after that, like, I think it's anyone's guess. I mean, you know, you could look at any, but I mean, I don't know, Berrettini having the same odds as Bodek van de Zandschulp of RBA, who we know hates clay. Like, it's kind of a crapshoot down there. So I'm excited for the quarter odds to come out. Like, I think that's where we're going to get some value, but.
I was just laughing because we can't go through a whole show. We're not allowed without mentioning Berrettini or Dimitrov.
I don't think we mentioned it for 2 weeks.
I mean, you got wrecked. I can't find a big.
One or the other. And also, I don't know if you're following the Tsitsipas match.
I am.
It's quite a doozy right now. Trying to serve out the match in some trouble is Stefanos. Quickly then, Zico, any thoughts on the updated female Roland Garros odds? Iga's at even money as of today. It'll probably be negative by the time, would most likely be negative by the time the tournament starts. Sabalenka, Goff, Rybakina, Andreeva, Jabeur, Halep, Osaka. Any attack other than just Iga's the champ until proven otherwise?
Yeah, I think I'd put a bigger play on Iga than I normally would, like a 2 or 3 unit play, and like that's how you get your bigger payout. I just don't really think there's really anybody that could really challenge her here. I think that if you do want to take kind of a value play, I guess I think Rybakina at 14-1 is solid just because you know she's going to be holding at a higher rate than other people are on a surface where it's really hard to hold. And I don't see Collins on here, but I'm interested in seeing what her form is like when we get to the tournament, because if it's anything like what we've seen the last few weeks, she absolutely has a chance. And those odds must be really good if she's not on these board.
Yeah. What would the odds be of a set? If you guys had to guess another guess, the odds, guess the line, if it was Sabalenka Iga in the final of RG, what do you think that line would look like?
I think Sabalenka would be -130. No,
against Iga. Sabalenka versus Iga.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant against Rybakina.
No.
Sabalenka against Iga?
Yeah.
She's +190.
Okay. So at that point, it's like, I don't know. I mean, I just feel like waiting a little bit on Sabalenka, depending, because she's got to beat Iga to do it anyway. So,
I mean, I'm looking at Andreeva. I mean, eventually, I think the time that she's going to win is going to be when we finally stop talking about her. And I haven't heard Zico say her name in quite some time. So I feel like that's the time to pounce. I mean, look, last year, I think there's a lot to be said for the fact that she's so young. She's 16. She has been trying to work up the conditioning, the consistency in matches. We saw at the Australian Open, she made a meal out of a lot of those matches. Very, very like a young player. You know, young players tend to do that. Took a set off Goff here and won 5 straight matches coming through qualifying before eventually losing in that third round. And I think she's playing better now. She's still alive this week. And, you know, clay has been a surface where she's been able to win 43-8 on clay in her career, 35-13 on hard courts. It's very small sample size. It's very early in her career, but I do feel like this is certainly a tournament that she could win. And like I said, I think the one time she wins, it's going to just kind of, because we expect her to win all these Grand Slams. Like, I think it's just going to sort of happen. Like, that's just how it happened for a lot of these players. It had to happen for Iga, right, at the French Open a few years ago. Like, she didn't go in as a favorite. We all knew she was going to win some tournaments, especially at Roland Garros. I would agree with Zico, though. Like, the Iga line continues to drift down. And I think of, you know, I think of, what was it, plus 125 the last time we had a show. So it's going to keep going. And I would say she's definitely got to be the bet if you're going to make one bet on this tournament. But I like Andreeva to win. I do.
I think Kostyuk is also a pretty good value. Like, I just think that she's been playing kind of at a top 15 level consistently since the start of 2020.
I don't know.
Kenny has some that. But yeah, Iga's clay record in the last year. Iga's clay record is insane. It's pretty impressive. Before we wrap up the show, Kenny, I know you're on a bet that isn't going your way right now. You took Felix before against Struff. But I bring this up because this is kind of right, like a gambler's delight is the rain delay. Like, you're loving going to the locker room and getting a reset button.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's not Fabio Fognini coming out of the locker room who is the rain delay god, but I do feel like that's definitely needed. I liked Felix going in. I think the price screamed Felix, given it's in Germany and Jan Lennard Struff is coming off a couple of big wins. And I mean, look, I thought he looked really good in that first set and just had a bad service game at 5-all. He managed to get the break back and then just kind of threw away his serve. And then it was a pretty quick break in the second. So I don't know. I mean, I thought he looked pretty locked in, pretty focused. I thought he was playing better. And again, I just think he's more talented than Struff. And like I said, this line here, you're getting the hot player, the hometown favorite at minus 115. And he's the guy who's been in better form lately. Why is he minus 115? Like, I think that's always the thing you got to look at with these lines. So I did take a stab on Felix here and not going my way, but again, the rain's probably going to help a lot. And I think he, like I said, he came out focused in that first set. He looked really solid. So I think he might be able to have a way back into this match now.
Yeah. Well, no, I bring it up because the momentum breakers are big. And on the other side, you know how brutal it would be if you're winning good and then the rain hits. So before we wrap, I mean, Tsitsipas is down now.
Not anymore. Now it's Diaz Acosta minus 125 and Tsitsipas plus 100 because our boy just held for 6-5.
What's that? Is he going to drop? Like, what's the celebration going to be when he wins, if he does win? Drop to the clay with some crazy call like this win is FDA approved.
Not going to be crazy. He's going to just look at his box.
You think so? I mean, this would be a big monumental win. Well, hey, before we wrap, any plays this weekend? Anything we like? Any of these tournaments? There's a lot to choose from.
I told you I like Garin.
Garin, yeah, the lines aren't up, so we do have to see. But
Garin's no caveat. Okay, fine. We'll do a little asterisk. Yeah. The line isn't out yet, but the one that I'm looking at is backing Christian Garin against Taylor Fritz. I love Garin on clay court. That's just like simple as that. He has excellent movement. His movement allows him to be that backboard that can really trouble opponents because every shot is coming back. He has that heavy topspin forehand, and he can generate a lot of pace. And because of that, Fritz plays really aggressive offense, yes, but he plays really aggressive offense on hard surfaces. Slower clay surface favors those that construct points, those that have a topspin, and both of those are Garin, and you're getting him as an underdog on a surface that is his bread and butter. So I love him as an underdog. I don't know what the game spread is. He is plus 180 on the money line. I need to see what the game spread is first to see if I want to take him as an outright, but I love at least backing Garin in the game spread.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have comments on that too. I mean, it was a big win by him today, and Fritz beat your boy Kenny Jack Draper wearing the long sleeves. No, I like the logic on this one. This is the clay court guy.
Yeah, I think that's a match where a lot of people are going to be on Green. I don't blame you. I would actually probably zig where everyone else zags and take Taylor Fritz, who played really good clay court tennis last year, as you guys remember from my dumb nickname that you made fun of. But actually, it's a good nickname. But yeah, I don't know. If we could get like -1.5 games on him, I would be interested. I'm looking at the early line, and
it's you not. Might I think it's going to be like closer to 3.5.
I would say
money line's 220.
I'm only seeing the decimals here, but if Green is a +190 underdog, then it's probably going to be 2.5, mm-hmm. maybe 3. I would pay up to -125 on the 2.5 for Fritz, but I don't know if I would go to 3.5. And a lot of the books do have only fractional odds. I would also say Tobio coming off a good win over Fonseca. That's an interesting bet to take him against Vucevic. I know Vucevic did win against this is my way of talking about Corentin Moutet, the king. But you know, he did have a good win over Moutet today. Moutet's playing excellent tennis right now. So I don't mind that quite a lot. And also later in the day, and I'm curious what you guys think after this Tsitsipas match is over, Fis or Lajovic. I was really impressed with Fis, but you know, against Imanol, I did manage to take that, but I wonder. Let down spot, Dusan Lajovic playing really solid tennis. But it is a little bit of a faster court though in Barcelona. So I don't know. I could go either way on that one. I think mm-hmm. I'm probably laying off, but that's an interesting match to sort of maybe bet live. But yeah, shout out to Corentin Moutet, guys playing unbelievable tennis. Yeah. And he's back in the top 100, I believe. So he made it back. And once again, you know, you can love him or hate him, but the fact that guy played through a wrist injury last year where a lot of guys would have just shut it down. For the love of the sport, he was out there on the clay practicing and just sliced backhand. He couldn't hit a backhand. And it's actually been a pretty effective weapon for him. I feel like the sliced backhand, now that he hit it so much last year out of necessity, it's been really great to see him like be able to mix that in now. He's got a little more variety. An already very, very, very volatile game.
Yeah, it's like rookie of the year, how it peeled, and now he's like the best pitcher ever. Yeah. That's what that has happening. There's some good matches tomorrow. You got Rude at Chaveri. Rude, as Zico pointed out, the ATP wins leader on the season so far. And I know he lost today, but Yao Fonseca, just wow, just one to watch. 17 years old, still rising up the ranks there. So, Zico, anything else you're looking at tomorrow?
Not yet. I'll eventually have some plays. I mean, I did consider Fis in that match against Lajovic, but I just laid off of it because -160 is a little bit too much for me. I don't want to play it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good weekend. And then, you know, obviously we'll see if Iga gets her third Porsche. That's always the one to watch if she just wins that tournament again and has to get a new garage there. But we're ramping up. And you got the expanded draw Madrid. So, Pam, that's the next thing. We're getting used to just the bigger fields for Madrid. But elevated clay, combined event, another Masters for the guys, first for the women. So another chance to, let the dust settle a little bit on some of these odds and see some movement.
And I also like betting on Madrid. I don't like betting on clay court, but I like betting on Madrid because I feel like it kind of works more than how it's supposed to. It's easier to read. It is a faster surface. And as it was mentioned earlier, it is faster than even Indian Wells. So you can, a lot of things work out how they're supposed to. So because of that, I do like putting a little bit more dollars into that tournament. So I'm going to sit back and wait for that.
Everything works out like it's supposed to, like Taylor Fritz going to the semifinals. And also, another reason to drop his name, RIP, Aslan Karatsev. He had that great run to the semis against, he lost to Struff there last year, and he's shredded his knee at the Australian Open. So come back soon.
No, we didn't bring up Karatsev.
I know, we're playing all the hits. Well,
let's just say Dan Evans before we get off.
you lost me on that one.
Dan Evans, of course. Well, this was
double fault for Tsitsipas to bring up Match Point, by the way.
Wow. We'll probably check in.
I'm behind.
Yeah. Doing streams different. We'll probably reconvene at the end of next week as we gear up for Madrid. So thanks everybody out there for watching or listening to Tennis Bets on YouTube, Twitter, X, and Facebook, and all the Tennis Channel podcast platforms. For the gang, for Kenny Ducey, for Pamela Maldonado, for Zachary Conan, Mitch Michaels. Enjoy the tennis and make a little money out there. Thanks for watching Tennis Bets.